confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
But you have dishonored the poor man.
Are not the rich the ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there, Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Amen. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the last verse from the Gospel reading. They were astonished beyond measure, saying of Jesus, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is our text. Can you imagine a total stranger coming up to you and sticking his fingers in your ears and spitting and then touching your tongue? And it was your own friends who brought you to this man. I really doubt that's what the friends had in mind when they brought their deaf-mute friend to Jesus. All they wanted was for Jesus to place his hand on the guy, perhaps not quite that close, and bless him. But what they get instead is Jesus using his fingers as Q-tips and applying spit to the man's tongue. And that's what Jesus wants to do here today with you. He wants to stick his word that deeply into our ears, and he wants to loosen our tongues to sing and speak his praise. The one who does all things well wants to do all things well with us too. St. Mark doesn't tell us anything about the man whose ears and tongue didn't work. We don't even know his name. He's one of those many people who are hearing impaired, living in silence, struggling daily to communicate with people whose ears did work. He'd never heard the sound of laughter. He'd never heard the sound of music. He'd never heard the sound of God's word. And he also spoke with great difficulty. It describes him as having a speech impediment. Even the most basic conversation for this man was a struggle. He came from the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities in Gentile territory. You might remember that as the region where Jesus had cast the legion of demons out of the man in the graveyard and sent them into the herd of pigs, which then plummeted over the cliff. The people of that area, at least the pig farmers, weren't very big fans of Jesus anymore. But somehow word had spread about his power over demons, his power over diseases. And so when he shows up in that area again, some people seek him out. And that's how Jesus and this man whose ears and tongue don't work get together. A few people believed enough about Jesus to bring their friend. I want to think about that for just a moment. A few people believed enough about Jesus to bring their friend. We call that evangelism. And it's really not that complicated. Bringing people you know to Jesus to have him bless them. Perhaps that's how you came here to our Savior, was with that sort of invitation. Perhaps you brought others along by that kind of invitation. I encourage you this week, look for one person in your life that you can invite. And you don't have to have all the answers. All you have to do is say, "I know this guy named Jesus, and he does all things well. Come and meet him." This is what the friends of this man did. They came to Jesus and just said, "Won't you lay your hand on our friend? His ears and his tongue don't work. We heard what you did with demons, so we figured you might be able to help him." And Jesus does. He takes the man aside, away from the crowds. He's not a showman. He's not on a stage saying, "Hey, look at me." He's not into show business. Jesus doesn't want to make a show. And he doesn't use the misfortune of this man to draw attention to himself. He takes him aside so that he's completely there for this man who can't understand him or hear him,
and who cannot speak with him. That man has Jesus' undivided attention, his whole heart. And Jesus uses a bit of sign language to begin with. He reaches out and touches this man in a way that's very personal, you might say a bit invasive and intimate. He connects with that man where he is, and he deals with him in his language. He takes his fingers and he sticks them in the man's ear, and then he spits on his fingers and he touches the man's tongue. Think about what he's doing there. He's touching what is broken with the Creator's hand. The good physician is at work. He's hands-on. He's not distant. He's not removed. He's not remote. He is right there with this man in need. And he touches him. It's a reminder to us that touch is vitally important. Vitally important for life and for healing and for well-being. Although I would suggest that our culture has largely forgotten that. Although not our culture in the church. Touching is so important. Jesus has come not only to be your God, your Lord, in some out there mystical way, but he has come to reach out and touch you, even to put his very body and blood into your mouth. And think about what it means. When Jesus touches someone, they were touched by the hands of God. Our God is a hands-on God. He came down from heaven's glory and he stepped into our human flesh to dwell among us and to touch us through his own humanity. You know, if he didn't want to touch us, if he didn't want to get that close to us, if he didn't want to involve himself in our lives like that, then there would have been no reason for him to become man. But he does. Fingers in the ears, spitting and grabbing tongues, man. He's the God who deals with us as the human creatures we are, in the grubby, ordinary, earthy, everyday way of our human existence. And when Jesus sticks his fingers into that man's ears, he's sticking into that man's ears the fingers of God. When he touches that man's tongue, it was God touching his tongue. And then Jesus looks up to heaven. It's as if to say, this is where your help comes from. Your help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. And I've come to bring God to you. Jesus is our go-between. He is our mediator, the mediator between us and God. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He touches us with God's touch. He sighs. He groans. Why? Because he knows how deep the brokenness is. And he knows what price he'll have to pay to fix it. The price he'll have to pay to fix that man's ears and that man's tongue and to fix you and me as well. He knows the cost of this healing. The cost is crucifixion and death. It can only be paid for with blood. And then Jesus speaks a word. What's surprising is that St. Mark doesn't give it to us simply in translation. He gives it to us in the original, the Aramaic. Ephatha. Ephatha, be opened. Be released. But he speaks those words not just to the man's ears, not just to the man's tongue. He is speaking to the entire man. Be released from your bondage. Ephatha, be free. Jesus releases him from everything that holds him bound and captive. Be released. Jesus came to proclaim release to the captives. To those bound in sin and death, he came to speak a liberating word. A word that he speaks to you today. Be released. Ephatha, whatever it is that has you bound, chained, he bids be loosed and be free. And you know what his word does? His word is living and active. His word is full of spirit and of life. His word words fall on deaf ears and cause them to hear. It's an amazing thing. He speaks to a man who is deaf, and now the man can hear. His words fall on mute tongues and cause them to speak. At the sound of Jesus' word, at the sound of that Ephatha, his ears were opened and his tongue was released. We don't know what he said, but we're told that he spoke plainly and coherently. And then a bit of a surprise. Jesus tells that man and his friends and everyone else there not to say anything. Your tongue is opened, you've just seen a miracle, but keep it to yourself, please. It's a bit ironic. The man can speak clearly, but now Jesus puts a gag order on him. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want to be known just as a wonder worker. If all the people saw in him was a cure for their earthly problems, if all they saw in Jesus was an ear and tongue specialist, then they missed the point. If all we see in Jesus is quick therapy, then we've missed the point as well. The Apostle Paul said that if our hope in Christ is only for this life, if all we look to Jesus for is a solution to our problems of this moment, then of all people, we are most to be pitied. Because there's more to Jesus than miracles. The miracles are a sign that God has come, a sign that God is there to touch us and to heal us. Isaiah had spoken of these signs centuries before. Your God will come, he prophesied. He will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer, and mute tongues will shout for joy. God came in Jesus Christ. He came to save us. He came to save us by absorbing into himself all the sin, all the evil, all the brokenness, all that had gone wrong with us, all that had come into the creation because of our fall. He came to take our sicknesses and our diseases into his own body. He came to battle the demons that darken our lives. He came to take the devastation that crushes us. He came to free us from everything that binds us, that imprisons us, that keeps us from being God's children, to unchain us from sin, from death, and from the devil. And he came to bring in the new creation with his own dying and rising, a new creation in which the blind see and mute tongues speak and the lame leap and water flows in dry desert places. He has come to do all of that and more. And if we don't see that fulfillment yet, if our problems of this day are not fully fixed and solved by Christ, it will happen. The day will come when the deaf will see and the mute will speak and the lame will leap. That is promised in Christ. But Jesus didn't want them to say anything about what had happened because what had happened was not everything. It was too small and it was too soon. There was much more of Jesus to come. His death on the cross, his rising from the grave, the empty tomb, his ascension to glory, his sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then the disciples would speak openly. Then they would speak plainly. Then they would declare to all the mighty works of God. But of course, you know how it goes. Jesus tells them to be quiet. Shh. And they immediately go out and tell everyone else about him. They were overwhelmed at the power of Jesus. With a simple word, one word, Ephatha, Jesus did what no man is able to do. And yet he did it in such a human, earthy way. Through his humanity, the power of God had come to save, to set free from, and to release from bondage, and the people couldn't help but talk about it. He's done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Consider this now. How much more we have to say about Jesus than they had to say. We know the greater things that Jesus has done. Greater things than making ears and tongues work again. Jesus has died for us, and he has risen from the dead, and he reigns over all things, including over sin and death. And if that's not something for us to talk about, then I don't know what is. Jesus has opened your ears, and he has unloosed your tongue. In holy baptism, when you were baptized, that was Jesus coming to you, saying, Ephatha, be opened, opening your ears. For what purpose? That you might hear his word, and that you might hear it with faith, believing it. Anointing your tongues to sing his praises, and to pray to him, and to proclaim his name. And he continues still today, putting his forgiveness into your ears, putting his body and his blood on your tongues. His word in our minds and in our hearts, in the same earthy incarnate way of fingers and ears and spitting on tongues. Today, I also consider the way in which this mirrors what Jesus does through Sunday school and through the teaching of the faith in our church. We might look at our Christian education in our congregation as a continuation of Jesus' work of unstopping ears and loosing tongues. We're all born deaf to God's word. We're all born mute to praise and prayer and thanksgiving. But consider in your own life, out of God's grace, someone brought you to Jesus, as the people brought that deaf and mute man from the Decapolis. Someone brought you to baptism. They brought you to the scriptures. Someone taught you God's word. Someone stuck the gospel of Jesus in your ears. Might have been a parent, a pastor, a friend, or a teacher. How important you are in the lives of others. Now, of course, teaching the faith can be frustrating. Sometimes, and I speak here to the Sunday school teachers maybe particularly, sometimes you might not be quite certain what has sunk in and what has bounced off. Sometimes you might wonder whether they can hear anything at all and whether their tongues work properly. But remember your own life. Remember how deaf you have been to God and how slow you are to hear his word. And remember the muteness of your own tongue, how reluctant you are to speak it. And let Jesus first open your ears and unloose your tongue with his forgiveness. And then you are ready to teach. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised by the questions the children ask, or the things they say, or where and when they decide to start belting out the liturgy at full voice. The Word of God has a way of breaking through and of getting in. And that's why it's so important for us to have our little ones in church and in Sunday school. Sometimes it requires patience. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but it is worth the effort, and it is worth some squirmy Sundays. Consider how you learn to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. It was long before you knew what those words meant. We grew into it. And I'd say no matter how old you are, we're still growing into it. We're still learning. And the children are learning by watching us, and they're learning to participate along with us, and they are counting on us, and they are seeing that what we do here is for them as well. But they need us. So parents, godparents, teachers, Christian adults, you've been given the holy calling to train the ears and tongues of God's little ones. You're teaching them to use their ears to listen to God, and you're teaching them to use their tongues to praise and to pray. And that teaching is holy work. Remember that it is Jesus who is at work in and through you, and he does all things well. He's the one who opens ears. He's the one who loosens tongues. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. He gives eternal life. And he does it all well. Trust him to do everything well with you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I invite forward our primary Sunday school teachers, Tom Connell, Amanda Roach, Lisa Crawford, Amanda Vega, and Cordy Mueller. Beloved in the Lord, you have been chosen out of this congregation as Christians known to love the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may assist your pastor in the ministry of the Word for the building up of the children of God to their eternal welfare and to the praise of His glorious grace. In Deuteronomy, the Holy Spirit says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." As you undertake this solemn office, the Lord of all, who has put into your hands his holy, precious scriptures, now puts into your hands also the souls of the lambs and sheep of Christ's flock, which he purchased with his own blood, that you may feed them his very word of life. Therefore, I ask you, do you believe that all that Holy Scripture is the very word of God, holy, true, and without error, given that we might believe in Jesus Christ and in him be saved? Do you believe the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from Scripture to be the true and unchanged teachings of God's word as well? Then answer, I do believe.
I do believe.
Will you teach the Christians in your care only what Scripture itself teaches, in accordance with the confessions of our church? Then answer, I will.
I will.
Will you pray for the souls you teach, for me, your fellow teacher, and for yourself? And will you devote yourself to ongoing study of the Scriptures, that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be equipped for the work he will do through you? Then answer, I will, with the help of God.
I will, with the help of God.
And now to the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by this man and these women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
As a called minister of this flock, to whom the ministry of word and sacrament has been entrusted, I install you as teachers of the word of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name, and the salvation of his people. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, teacher and Lord, bless these, your servants, Tom, Amanda, Lisa, Amanda, and Cordy, as they instruct the lambs of your flock. Open the scriptures to them that they may see you in your word. Increase their faith and joy in you. Defend them from the assaults of the devil, from the false words of this world, and from their own doubts, fears, and sin. But let them, with strong confidence in you and in your strong word, be servants of grace, that their labors may bear fruit now and into eternity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God and Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of the Holy Spirit, who opens deaf ears with his word, that our tongues would be released to proclaim with zeal how God's Son has done all things well. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For missionaries, especially for Michael and Nancy Jane, that the Lord would strengthen and support them in the work they do on behalf of the church's mission. And for Linda and her short-term mission team, that their serving would bear much fruit and that they would have safe travel home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors and their congregations, especially for Pastor Scarda and the Saints of Redeemer in Lebanon, Connecticut, that the word would be clearly preached, the sacraments be rightly administered, and the Lord's people be fed and nourished. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Concordia Theological Seminary, and for new president, Dr. John Bruss, as he takes up his call, that many future pastors and deaconesses would be trained to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all rulers, that God, in whom alone we place all our hope, would bless them, order their plans for the welfare of the governed, and execute his justice for the oppressed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Casey, Stephanie, and Annie, that they would have good health and strength in their pregnancies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those in any need, especially for Joyce, that she might be at peace as chemotherapy begins, for Nancy with her pain, Gwen in her old age, Rick in his rehabilitation, Stan with his health issues, John with his congestive heart failure, for Blair, Bobby and Carol, Karen, Kristen, Rick and Teresa and Verity, that all these might receive mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homebound, Donna, Anita, Barbara, Georgia, Ruth, Joan, Ed, Jeanette, and Andrea, that they might spend their days as dearly beloved children of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that God would give us a humble and urgent faith that would beg even for crumbs from Christ's table, so we may receive the fullness of our Lord's Supper worthily as his children, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a lively faith in Christ Jesus, that we would be fruitful and active in all good works, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, source of all life, receive our prayers this day in the name of your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
light and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. psalm today is from Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. Cough. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I asked, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
The body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food, which we have received, will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give